Officially the biggest market share commercial radio show on the dial. The Frank Mitchell Phone-In. Monday to Friday, 9 until noon on U105.
Quite a bit of coverage on this issue in the papers this morning, on the news as well. You would have heard the question is, should iPads be, and the tablets be banned in our schools? That's the subject of our Twitter poll this morning. You can vote at U105 Radio on Twitter. You can follow me at Frank U105. We're discussing the topic because a leading teachers union says 2/3 of its members felt there was a risk of pupils accessing inappropriate material in the classroom. And the report also says there's a serious risk that the education and well-being of hundreds of thousands of children could be compromised. The children, basically, the long and the short of it, aren't concentrating the way they used to. So many online distractions. Let me speak to Dr. Liz Fawcett, who's behind the research. Liz, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Now, we heard you on the news there, and we're going to hear a little more detail. What is the main problem?
Well, Frank, I should point out, first of all, that the ATL Teaching Union and myself as the report author certainly wouldn't be calling for the banning of tablets in the classroom. There can be a great value to using these devices in class, although it's quite clear that their use needs to be closely supervised. What we're more concerned about is when schools roll out much more extensive use. So they start being used as one of the main devices for a lot of schoolwork in the class, and for homework as well. What came out of the survey, we surveyed parents and teachers from right across Northern Ireland, and the feedback that came back very much from teachers as well as parents was, yes, these devices are useful, they do have a place, but at the same time there are major drawbacks. The biggest one was a concern over the distraction factor, particularly for homework. That's not surprisingly, these devices at the end of the day are built for sociability. They're built for things like gaming. So if children are asked to do homework on tablets, what are they going to do? Are they going to immediately get down to their schoolwork, or are they going to be distracted by the ability to message their friends, go on social networks and game? The other big concerns that came out of this were many parents and teachers are concerned that the devices could hamper the development of writing skills. And there are a number of reasons for this, but one of them would be that some tablets have autocorrect features. So a child's spelling can just be corrected as they go along. Parents and teachers are also concerned about whether children can write proper essays. There's quite a lot of concern on that. There's also concern about the child protection issue, and perhaps one of the most surprising findings really of the survey was when we looked at the teachers who actually had tablet experience in schools, something like 2/3 of them were saying that there was at least some risk that children might be able to access inappropriate material in the classroom. And indeed, 20% of those teachers were saying the risk was considerable. So, yes, you know, teachers, the majority of teachers and parents who responded to this survey said there is definitely some value to tablets, but it's all about using them in moderation and being very careful about their use.
However, listening to everything you're saying, and it's common sense what you've delivered there, but we're in a situation where the horse is out of the stable. We can't put the genie back in the bottle and all those analogies. There was a time when people thought we shouldn't have, you know, paper, a slate and chalk is better. Surely a mobile library that is an iPad or a tablet is an excellent thing for a child to have when he or she's doing homework. We shouldn't be thinking that they might be messaging their friends on social media. We should think they're actually accessing that amazing library that is held in their hand. They're cutting and pasting, they're reading up, they're researching. It's such a brilliant tool whenever they're doing their homework. That's one way of looking at it. As for the ability to write, surely writing should be a separate skill taught at a different time, in a different classroom or in a different period within school. And needless to say, we do we have to insist on our children being able to have the skill to use a pen and learn to spell as well without auto correction. The other issue that you mentioned, the safety for the child, the appropriate the appropriate material that they may be accessing, and that to me is the real difficulty, and where I can understand teachers wanting to row against it, because the last thing any teacher wants is an 8-year-old in a classroom, or even a 13 or 14-year-old in a classroom, looking at material that may compromise in some way the presence of that teacher, because a child should not be looking at inappropriate imagery. It is so easy to find it. We did a little experiment this morning on the way into the studio whereby we put in two words. One word was miss. Miss is such an obvious word that is used in the classroom. Excuse me, miss this, miss that, and so on and so forth. You put in the word miss into Google, go to images, you get pornography. As simple as that. You also get a similar delivery of imagery that's not suitable for children if you put in the word doll, D-O-L-L. So that's the big argument for not having them in the hands of children.
Yeah, well, Frank, I wouldn't dismiss the, you know, I think there's a few things to say there. I really wouldn't dismiss the biggest concerns that came out of this survey, which were the distraction factor and the issue about writing skills. You know, I think they are important. But yes, on the access to inappropriate material. Now, all schools are certainly supposed to have filters, internet filters. There's obviously an issue of, you know, do all parents really sort of understand how to set up those filters at home?
Yes, on that, Liz, this is important. You can't filter Google images. We're not talking about websites that you shouldn't be going to if you're a young person, and you should be even questioning going to if you're an adult. I'm not judging people's behaviour online. But if you put in a simple word like miss into Google and hit images, it gives you pictures of lots of people who are associated with miss, could be Miss World or whatever.
Yeah.
But
well,
it can also be Miss Naked Bum.
Yeah.
Filter that.
No, well, I wouldn't, you know, I think you would have to speak to the schools that use the filters and to the Department of Education. At the moment, I mean, if I can just explain what the situation is as regards filters, the Department of Education has an approved internet or recommended internet filtering system for schools in Northern Ireland called C2K. And a lot of schools do use that, but not all of them do. And part of the issue is that some of these tablets are not actually compatible, apparently, with that particular system. But even with that system, I mean, certainly there can be issues. I'll give you one example. I really do think some of what you're talking about, you know, would probably be filtered out by the school systems, although it's certainly something the Department of Education should look at. But here's one example that a survey respondent gave. This was a primary school teacher, and presumably they were doing this exercise with fairly young primary school children. They used an iPad app, an educational app, and got the kids to Google or search for Big Bad Wolf, you know, which, as we all know, is something popular with young children. What does an internet search for Big Bad Wolf turn up? Well, it turns up a video that was made a few years ago, some sort of dance video, which actually features absolutely crude and obscene imagery, which most parents probably wouldn't want their young teenagers seeing, let alone preschool or primary school age kids. Now, okay, my assumption was that at that particular school, they obviously didn't set the filters properly. But I asked ahead to check at a primary school which uses the recommended C2K system. And when he did a search with the filters on, it turned up exactly the same stuff. Now, he didn't actually check if he could get into that video, but it was certainly turned up in searches. So, I mean, I think the Department of Education does need to look at the approved system, and it needs to look at the other systems that schools are using at the moment. And there needs to be stronger guidance from the department, who to date have been content simply to say, here's our recommended system, but really at the end of the day, it's up to schools. And I think another issue there is some teachers were saying, particularly at post-primary level, oh yeah, but you know, it's really up to the pupils. I mean, they've got to be sensible about this. But that is almost akin to saying, okay, well, look, we've got pornographic magazines in this school. We're putting them up on a high shelf so you shouldn't be able to reach them. And then if the pupils go and get them, that's their fault. Of course, no parent would accept that whatsoever. Schools should have zero risk in the classroom. I feel, and I think many parents would feel, that children can access this sort of stuff. when it comes to home, when it comes to the issue of whether schools should be placing the onus on parents to have the right controls at home, that's a separate issue. But in the classroom, I think we have a right to feel that our children are safe.
Yeah, of course. And I think there is probably a bit of a risk being taken if you do put in the word bad, as in big bad wolf. If you've any understanding of the internet, you will realise that you won't just get whatever the nursery rhyme is. So you do run that risk, and the filters have to be very strong. And yes, if the filters can keep a video away, full praise to the people who design them. But I've just put in a word, and we have filters here in the company. I've just put in the most obvious of words to experiment with, a word that is so appropriate and a word that's part of our education, the word body. Now, body gives you nudity, and children shouldn't see nudity at school. I don't know how you'd ever filter out the body if you decided to look up body in a primary school classroom.
Well, I think these are issues for the Department of Education to have a look at. Where teachers are, I think the issue is perhaps at preschool and primary school level, should children be encouraged to do online searches? And certainly teachers should be checking first what is actually going to come up in an internet search. But certainly at a post-primary level, there are some schools now which are starting to require all children to have tablets in the classroom. Now, if you've got a class of 30 kids, and if you potentially have access to the sort of material, if they've got potential access to the sort of material you're talking about, can the teacher really guarantee that every child is only looking at what they're meant to be looking at during class? I think that certainly is an important issue for child welfare, and it's one that the department should be looking at. But of course, that's not the only issue when it comes to supervision, because the distraction factor, although that was, that came out as the biggest concern in terms of homework, was also a very big concern for teachers and parents in the classroom as well. Yes, if you're working with a small group of children and the teachers can see all the time exactly what the children are doing. But the iPad, for example, has a handy little sidebar which comes out. I don't know if you're aware of this, Frank. And so, a child can be sitting there looking as if they're doing their work and they've got their messages or they've got their game going on the side. And I mean, you're talking about less than a second for the child to get rid of what they're not supposed to be doing. So the distraction factor can be very big in class as well.
It's very valid. It is, without doubt, it's valid. But it's 2016, the technology is here. The kids also have their phones. So I go back to the original question, can we possibly row against the tide?
Well, no, I think it's about looking at using tablets in an appropriate and balanced way. And a balanced way, in my view, is what some primary schools, and I'm sure some post-primary schools are doing as well, which is to bring them out in certain lessons for certain activities. For example, a post-primary school uses them in physics lessons. And what they do there is they get kids to measure the velocity and trajectory of a rugby ball using an iPad. They actually sort of track it and calculate the speed and trajectory. And this is basically lifting dry physics off the page and bringing it to life for the kids. So absolutely, the tablets have potential. I think the big question is where schools start saying, right, well, this is going to be the major means by which we do homework. This is going to be the major means by which we do most of our schoolwork, regardless of whether there's really great value or not. That's when I think we need to look at whether they're going down the wisest route.
It's a very important discussion. Liz, good speaking to you. Thanks for your time. Thank you.
Get involved with the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Call us on 90 333 105. Text us on 077 66 105 105. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. And if you've missed any of our interviews, go to u105.com/catch-up.